Well, I'll tell you, they're out there.
I've received the Republican Club presidents from Harvard and all the Eastern schools. They asked to come in and see the place and so forth. They're good people, you know, they're there. Not if, I mean, they understand they were interested in the constitutional question.
Yeah,
they're law students and all of a sudden maintain the separation of powers and I explain your position.
And if we were
cooperating,
that's very different from other ones, right?
And it made a great deal of sense.
And I told them, you know, the famous, if they ever asked him on the Sherman Adams case, you know what the answer is there. He was charged with an impropriety.
Right.
There's no charge here.
Of course,
anybody that's charged here, do it on a testimony.
Sure.
I mean, like, nobody's not charging all of them or anybody else that did that, correct?
Sure.
And same with Dean, that's the point. Sure. We're not trying to keep anybody away from the
check. I had to admit that they on the cooperation and so forth. It's damn hard to get that.
I'm good along with the rest. How long did they back you up today?
No, I
you come
just along. Rested right on what you had said yesterday. They had, and I mentioned the fact that Kleindienst was meeting with the chairman and the ranking member, and that seemed to handle things all right. And I hit again the cooperation. And they said that your comment yesterday mean that there would be no more FBI funnels going to the full Knesset. I said, yeah, I said, the president was very clear that. And I said, Kleindienst is working out with her how this should be handled because we want to, the president's made clear we want to cooperate. We want to provide the facts. We want to provide relevant information. But, and then I took him through that line.
Don't you think we're on very solid ground yet?
I think so.
Very good on all these issues. Yeah, really,
coach for a long time. And he says, that's me. Let me ask you something first about the foundation. Are you adequately financed? Do you need more people? Do you want more?
We need to operate on the verge of bankruptcy. It's something that always, we're trying to change our policy to go through the nerve wreck. The reason for that is we have always spent our money on Hudson-sponsored research when we have money come in. We have to have a bank or anything. So we have read about $2 million a year, which is 1.8 million contracts. That's not wrong at all. But it's a $2-3 million.
Now tell me this, what is the situation with regard to, you can do certain studies and so forth. Would it be, for example, would it corrupt you at all if you were to undertake any kind of government study?
We have 1/3 of it now.
You have 1/3.
Okay. You are Pentagon, State, Executive Office, NSC.
You have that much, right?
1/3.
You need a little more. Or would you have to earn more private sector?
No, we prefer the government. There are two kinds of things we're trying to get very far. One is a study designed for yourself, but you have an escort.
A what?
The study designed for you.
Yeah.
But you have an escort. This is from the National Endowment for Humanities. And it's an attempt to create a background in the American people and in the intellectual community and in the elites, so that when the bicentennial comes around, you can make certain kinds of speeches which will be taken seriously. Which, if you don't create this background, they will not be taken seriously. It's an attempt, in fact, to write the record of capitalism in the 20th century. And the United States, yeah.
When should you undertake that? How long would it take you with a project? What would you like, a year?
Well, basically, we're trying to do the six phases. Let me describe the very. Let me show you something I could.
Sure. On this part, could I ask Erwin to hear? Or the artist, you already showed it to him.
I showed him a small piece of it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much we've got to do
that. Yeah, I'm out of it. But Mike, I want to talk to you about the board and also the country where I can do something for us.
I'd be glad. Let me, Remember the 10 years of domination by the Russians? They did the same thing. If you go to the south, if you go to the south of France today, for example, I said, be there last month, they don't believe Catholics. You know why? In the 13th, 12th centuries, the Albigensian heresy was wiped out to the last man, and they all became Catholics. And for 600 years, the Catholic Church, the best propaganda group in the world, propagandized those families. It still has to pay. Right, so you find people are very weak Catholics.
People are wrong.
They're weak Catholics. They're not as strong as my
family. And it's not right. But I French Catholics are generally weak Catholics. They are.
Well, they're weak compared. The last, they've always been more worldly.
Yeah.
You know, they're not Catholics. But I'm talking about their.
After 600 years of total control, they still
did not have the point through there.
Why? Okay.
Because it went down from mother to child that basically this was the outside world forcing foreign religion on.
Oh.
You see, and while they couldn't teach their own religion, because it was death, they never really adopted the foreign religion as much as you would have thought they would have. You see, you have a century to check the mark here. To understand the 68 crisis, you've got to go back basically to just 820, when the Czech nation was wiped out, became Catholic. But it's Papal State, it's still Janus, a Protestant. You see, they don't, it's the largest communist party in the world outside the Soviet Union, with very few communists. It's a country in which rhetoric and belief have always been separated. For 350 years, there's no heroic act to Czech history as a group since 1520. They've been fighting for farmers. They fight well, I think, recently. But the question of the fight is their idea of a hero. Not the man who really stands up and is recounted.
Yeah.
Well, all I'm saying here is that the average guy, if you tell him something at home that a guy at home seems to believe, you know, parent, outside propaganda will not change him. The only exception to this is a good university can change a guy around.
And it does.
It's just change around himself.
That's why I suppose that university students, particularly in the East, they were governed by two ones. Whereas across the country, the universities aren't quite that good. We got even split. But that tells us something.
Yeah, well, it's a strong demand. There are about 9 million young people in academia.
Not 9 million.
9 million. If you take the really prestige universities, they're about to afford a lot for the government. Now, the second phase I hope to do this year, which is about a 5-minute study, is to do it right. You do the study of the tail, that is, you look at long-term food prospects of the tail, not just grain. You look at living accommodations, even settlements, not just density for population. If it, roughly speaking, we believe you support 20 million people, 20,000 miles per capita, whatever one you want. At low and middle class standards. Now, it's probably middle class standards in a second. The third phase of study I want to do next year. You meet an anti community. We've done this before. What you do is you have, say, a council of 50 people on food issues. You made 25 friends, 25 enemies. You know, stream. So it's really a genuine conversation. You pay 10 of them, 5 and 5, about $1,000 a piece to make presentations, write papers. You make these people meet before the conference so they talk to each other. There's no dialogue at the death. You know. You pay them another $1,000 to prepare revised papers for publication. You build up 50 reviewers. Reviewing has to be technically good. You explain to them. Some of you probably tell me possible, but they'll all understand the series. Nobody will dismiss it, you see. In 75, you do exactly the same thing for paying leaders. That is, you pay 2,000 off the next time you go to Riga, I say, for 2,000 to 2,500. You do the same thing for the press, worldwide. In 76, then if you wish to, you say this is the bicentennial. You will write back 200 years, which is the bicentennial. You'll write back 100 years. You'll write back 8 years to the beginning of your administration. You write up to the year 2000, the next 25 years, and show how every single problem America has today can be solved as a result of the policies you have started in the next 25 years. See, you can't do things in 10 years or 25 years. 25 you always can. But 25
is still like an ahead is what I want, would like to have the thing that intrigues me about this is the bicentennial connection. The fact that this can be ready, and you might have to. This country is the weakest, most spineless, useless group of people I've ever seen.
tell you what happened.
Come to it.
Yeah.
They tell you what happened. They don't ask for it. And the your people should make a study of it. You know, of course, there's been a lot of sentimental things about the POWs in here. I have talked before. All the divisions, each girl, you know, the amazing thing about these men. Here's a guy, each one of them spent 4 years in solitary, never saw another single human. 4 years in solitary before they began to see other people. But they come out, and there's a strength of character that is absolutely sealed. But you see, and then you see the bloody bastards we have running around here. And it isn't just, it's not just any partisan sense. The people that come out of the colleges, the universities, and so forth, and it's hard to find anybody with any goddamn backbone.
Can I show you something? Right, it really is. No, it's hard to find it. Let me say something.
We have a few of the White House. We've done most of it. It's hard to find any place like
this. This is a transit in the United States.
Yes.
Many people in academia are based in law somewhere. This is the traditional American. This guy who was in the your Air Force pilot. Roughly 2/3 of Americans would be in this kind of position. This was important to them. None of these issues are important to the kids at prestige universities. None. I showed this to an STS group was there about 5 years ago. And they said, what are you not going to live? I said, would you spend 6 weekends a year to prove your chance of going to live? They said, no. I said, you don't know what I'm talking about. He said, none of these issues are important to them. He said, you're going to live without trying. And they know. The rest of the crap about the situation. They're smart, educated. They love to get 15 to 20,000 a year without trying. They want to try, they get 30 to 20 bucks. This way, 15, 20 is fine. All right, here's where the kids are. Now, this, I say, is healthy. In other words, to move from that to here is what the Athenians did, what the Romans had to do eventually. It's very hard to keep a pure genetic operating in a rich, safe side. Very difficult. And I think the ideal situation is when, in the early 60s, the kids in prestigious universities are going here, which I don't like personally, you understand, but it's healthy for the country. Let me be very specific, by the way. You have a pretty Matthews in this report.
Yeah.
I did an argument on last week, and I described the food on the country. Now, this is the group that I said was getting into this article.
And the, your Q&A?
Yes, right. They took out numbers 2, 3, and 4. They took out from the list. They took out 3, and they took out 6 from the list. And they took out 7. Because that's bad. Back in November, like 12th, I guess, about 69, when I first attacked the GM. If you take out three bad tempered sentences, which are pretty sick he put in there, or four of what it was now, that speech is a research document.
You should have seen it before I did much of others.
Well, he can't afford any bad tempered remarks. He can't afford any bad tempered remarks. He just can't afford them. That speech, see, I use that speech, and I have to add it out to this paragraph, unfortunately. Then I said to my friends, and I say, why are you so angry at this speech? And one of them, a very funny remark, he says, I'll defend together, I'll defend to the death, the correctness of the speech, but I'll attack the death's right to make it. That's a twist of the usual. But it's a really
sad remark.
Yeah, no, if you commit the speech, if you had a paragraph out, then I can republish it in the book, and I can say, without hearing the documentation of the speech, you can put any documentation in. Now, the average American listens to it to see what's right. But the people who were doing the problem thought it was just an attack on them. They had no concept that their speech was right. They had absolutely no idea they had a sociology that they taught to themselves.
Do you think it would have changed if you'd taken two paragraphs?
No, it doesn't change that at all. But it makes it possible for me to say that the speech is perfect. To change them, you have good documentation. You have to give examples that are persuasive. You see, this is not a normal requirement for political speech to give documentation. That's a research requirement, not only here. But you have to get through to the New York Times. You can't get through to the New York Review of Books. You've got to separate the two problems. New York Review of Books is just going to be there. Nothing you or my professional say will change anything there. But the New York Times, you get through to.
Did
I say that? I have to present. They have the adequate survey. It's expensive survey. For the last 4 years, Jacqueline, 69 Jacqueline, sorry. These issues that were wrong about. So here's a list of 10 issues which the New York Times and Washington Post have been wrong about. Chart 7. In late 69, Time magazine learned that disabled law enforcement was not a code word for anti-Negro. Late 69, late 69, New York Times learned from the Anchorage survey that it was not a code word for law and order. Alright, the last Anchorage survey showed us that 81% of people voted for you, voted for patriotism and morality. That's the Anchorage survey shows. The New York Times page of that survey argued that people would be voted on racist grounds,
of course.
We had six editorials on racist grounds. Now, I was on top of Tom Wicker and Franco. In both cases, I took out this was on the platform. I didn't have a chance to talk to him. You know, I said, look, take the Rosenthal editorial. The editorial was perfect. Based on the Anchorage survey, with only two problems, the first paragraph and the last paragraph. We said the exact opposite. That's the editorial. Now, they thought I wrote this report on the Anchorage survey. So they said, look, we've got a survey. The Rosenthal editorial shows you wrong. I said, no, read that thing. Throw up the first paragraph and the last paragraph, you find that it's the exact opposite. People voted ethnically, but not racist. You see? Now, it'd be the easiest thing in the world to pay for the New York Times, if you really want to, that they had every one of these issues wrong, and had them still wrong in some degree. Well, that changes the New York Times if you point they're wrong. That changes them. You see? And here's a great advantage here, which is not normal. They've been so dumb that they haven't protected themselves. I mean, they were so sure that they were right. You mean that they stuck their neck way out? They didn't really protect. Nobody could protect themselves until the heart showed wrong. You know, they put a cavity here or a cavity there or something like that. They haven't done that. So you can really you can help.
They used to.
No, they've lost the sense of think of self-survival. They don't have a sense of survival anymore. That's fine. That's what they mean. You can change it. You see? Now, when I even talk to their terms, you've got to tell them, now look, talk to your own Yankovich, Paul. He's a good boss. Jack Dan Yankovich is the best in the country. You pay more fortune. He has shown your editorials are wrong. Why are you saying that stuff? Busing, for example, it's a take the busing issue. I think it's right if I speak to an audience of busing. I start off by saying, how many we bus this country since 1910? Except the South, there's no racist issues. It's a consolidated school, it's better schools. How many of you remember the first thing a real estate agent told you when he wanted to save a house? Neighborhood schools. If you check, people are paying 5, 10, 50% extra for neighborhood schools. This is what it's mean. I mean, if the average parent wants to send his kid on by bus to a better school if necessary. But many, maybe most, will pay 5, 10, 50% extra if they can avoid it. You see? All right, it's clear that there's a big amount of neighborhood schools. But I make a second comment. Would anybody in this life be surprised to learn
that is a public process to, which is sent people, long distances to bad schools, and somebody to check. Maybe they'd really be surprised. Raise your hand if you'd be surprised. No way, raise his hand, that's it. Right. Okay. It's done the 30 thing. How many people believe that was busing as Nazi racist? About half the hands go up. The name stands to my Jewish friends. They still believe that, but they take it over to his
yeah, okay. That's it. Because they believe in education. They got a shape of them.
Yeah, I understand that. They'll just see the thing. They remember they paid for their schools.
Sure.
They remember they did. They don't care that people long distances to look bad schools. They put people far above 75% against busing, 79% against segregation. Now, you find a contradiction. They don't. Why do you assume they have the worst possible motives? Maybe they're decent people. Then you go on. So that's it. Let's see how dumb people can get. Take a neighbor like with the British Protestant leaves in. We have the neighbors say we now have a situation where neighbors 20-30% people are middle class and stable. The kids go to school, separate people, makes no problems. If you start busting kids out of that school, you tip the neighbors over. Where do you think the neighbors went to the school board pick the bus? These perfectly satisfactory neighborhoods in which you had any segregation. 20% of neighbors in school, but only one. That is the one they decided to desegregate. But they have a successful thing going. At this point, the people in the universe are sick. You see, what happens is maybe 10% hate my guts,
yeah.
And 20% are shaking. I mean, really shaking.
Sure.
See,
because they realize they're contradicting.
And they go through the whole list over here. They were wrong on every issue on that list. And you can prove it. Opposition is this.
Let me ask you about the game when it comes to this. And I will put out a theory of history that probably I cannot prove, but it's just based on my recollections for reading through here and something like this. I was making this point to Captain Denton. He was the first man off the plane. Clark Peel. Very thoughtful man. He was 7 years and a half there, not just 4 years in solitary and so forth and so on.
By the way, they were impressive, those guys.
Thank you.